Trains, planes, and funfairs. Three industries taking part in the first major strike against the new French president. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. French President Emmanuel Macron won a big election victory in May, but his proposed labor reforms have seen his approval ratings dive faster than any other French president, dubbing him Monsieur Unpopular. Today, he's facing the first major protest of his presidency. Workers, who he's referred to as slackers and cynics, are unhappy at moves he says are necessary to bring down an unemployment rate that's about double the US's. I asked Sophie Petter, Paris bureau chief for The Economist, what's at stake.
This is the first test of the French president's labor reform, which is fairly controversial. Some unions have backed it, others haven't, and one has called this one-day strike today in France. And so it's really a test of whether or not Macron is going to be able to push past the resistance by unions on the street, which is where a lot of French governments in the past have been defeated.
Now, he's trying to make it easier to hire and fire workers. What does he want to do, and why are people worried about it?
People are still nervous. You know, France has got a very strong social protection, and it's a very you're very protected when you have a job in the French economy. And therefore, there is concern that this is going to be an end to something that they've enjoyed for, you know, most of the post-war period.
But Sophie, why? Because he was elected with such a huge majority, such fanfare. He was so beloved of voters.
He was, but don't forget he was elected in a two-round French system. And in the first round, he got 24% of the vote. That's not huge. In the second round, he was against Marine Le Pen of the far-right National Front. And then he got a huge majority. So, you know, there are people who voted for him in order to keep her out. So his real base is much more narrow than that seems.
Sophie Petter in Paris. Let's do the numbers. Despite protests, France's CAC index is leading European markets higher, up 25 points or 0.49%. Now, here in London, a number you don't see that often, 300%. That's how much the Welsh chipmaker IQE shares have risen this year. The company makes 3D sensors investors suspect might be a component in the new iPhone that's unveiled later today. And Japan's Nikkei soared, closing up 231 points or 1.18% after the UN's adoptions of new sanctions against North Korea. And now more on those UN sanctions, which we've been covering since last week. China and Russia backed the measure only after a ban against North Korea's oil imports was removed. Here's the BBC's Karishma Vaswani.
The new sanctions have targeted several areas of North Korea's economy, textiles, laborers and fuel. The aim is to restrict North Korea's ability to raise funds to pay for its nuclear program. Targeting the textile industry is a new strategy. It was worth more than $700 million last year and is North Korea's second biggest export sector, after coal and other minerals. Most of that trade went to China, North Korea's largest trading partner. The UN resolution has also targeted the 93,000 or so North Korean laborers working overseas, because they're another way for the regime to bring in cash in the form of remittances. The UN says these new sanctions will eventually starve the regime of $500 million in annual revenues. None of these sanctions, though, fully address what North Korea's economy really runs on, and that's oil. But Professor Robert Kelly of Pusan National University says they're basically the only option available.
The North Koreans just aren't really in the mood to talk. Otherwise, they're going to demand concessions that are so outrageous that the Americans in the South will never go for it. So I'm not really sure that we have much choice. You know, sanctions is the best way we have to sort of continue to push them to stop. I mean, otherwise, it's just sort of unchecked nuclearization.
Even though the sanctions place a restriction on the amount of oil Pyongyang can bring into the country, North Korea can still import oil. And analysts say that will be a vital lifeline for the regime to continue to fund and run its nuclear program. In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Karishma Vaswani for Marketplace.
Automakers are shifting gears. Governments, including the UK and China, want combustion engines phased out. The BBC's Theo Leggett is at the Frankfurt Auto Show.
If you had any doubts that the global auto industry is on the verge of a major transformation, they'd be dispelled by a visit to the show here in Frankfurt. Electrification is the buzzword of the day, as politicians in Europe and Asia try to outdo one another with talk of banning petrol and diesel engines. So car makers are going full throttle in the race to develop electric and hybrid vehicles. On Monday, Volkswagen announced it would offer 80 new electrified models by 2025. Mercedes parent company Daimler said there would be electric versions emissions of its entire fleet by 2022. But is it all just hype, a marketing gimmick? BMW's chief executive, Harald Kruger, assured me it was more than that.
If you would like to solve issues on the long term and meeting the climate conditions, you need to invest into sustainable mobility. So this is not just hype.
Even so, conventional cars won't disappear overnight, especially in the United States, where hybrid and electric cars represent only 3% of new vehicle sales. And as the Volkswagen boss Matthias Müller told me, the infrastructure for millions of electric vehicles simply doesn't exist yet. So the two types will have to exist side by side for a while to come.
The BBC's Theo Leggett. Finally, it's no longer monkey business. After 2 years, a San Francisco court has awarded copyright of a monkey selfie to a British photographer, David Slater. He owns the camera, and it means he now gets to charge for the photo, though he is giving 25% to conservation charities protecting the monkeys. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.